That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. The King James Version says you will never fall. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, I shared with you how that God expects us to have a growing faith, how that you and I are to participate in the salvation process by increasing our faith, by allowing our faith to deepen in the word, knowledge, and in the righteousness of God. But in doing that, as Peter concludes this particular part of his sermon, he says, therefore. That word therefore is because of what has happened in the verses or in his message above the therefore. He has talked to us, shared with us concerning adding these virtues. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And then you know how the scripture tells us, for if these things are in you, are yours, and they're bound, they'll make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful, but you will always be able to be fruitful in your spiritual walk. Now, as we come to verse number 10, he gives us assurance. Now he's talking about assurance. The reason I know he's talking about assurance because he uses the phrase, you will never fall. You will never fall. And that's really what I'm capturing in this last lesson on this particular topic. So let me use this as a subject. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance as it relates to verses 10 and verse number 11. I'm going to use four E's. Four E's will guide you through this lesson. The first one is eagerness. The second is going to be election. And after election is going to be establishment. And then fourthly, entrance. And all of this is in verses 10 and verse number 11. Now, notice he says, wherefore the rather, therefore because of what I have said in verses 5 through 9, wherefore the rather, I need you to be eager. I need you to exercise a point of diligence concerning your salvation. And that's why he says, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. There's something about being excited and eager about one's salvation. And when you understand what all has gone into it, there should be an eagerness. This is also seen in what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. I won't read that, but I do want you to know that in that passage, and you put it in your notes and you can go back and read it later, that he knows that he is about to put off this tabernacle of flesh. He knows that he's going to leave this world. And so he is urging the Christian to be eager to do those things that he has commanded them in this epistle, and to always keep these things in remembrance. So eagerness should be part of our working out our soul salvation. Number one, because death is going to come. Be eager to work out because you don't know where death is. Don't put off working and growing your faith. Don't do that, because you don't know where death is. Death can catch you suddenly, unexpectedly. And we know that when that happens, then it's all over as far as this life is concerned. Another reason that he wants them to be eager is found not only in the 13th and the 15th verse, but he goes into another part of the epistle, which is 2 Peter 3, verse 14 through 18. I won't take time to read that, but put it in your notes. 2 Peter 3, verses 14 through 18. The subject matter here is how that God is going to bring this earth to an end. He's going to destroy this world, just as he destroyed the world by water in the days of Noah. God has promised that this world is going to come to an end. Here's what you need to know. The Bible said God is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And knowing that he's going to bring this world to an end, he begs us to be diligent about working and growing our faith. Well, what is it about the end of the world that causes us to be eager and to be diligent? Well, the Bible says, that day knoweth no man, nor the hour when the Son of Man shall come. In other words, this world can come to an end in another second. Or today, God is promised that it's going to come, but we don't know. It'll come as a thief in the night. And because of that, death, and because of the world coming to an end suddenly, you ought not be slack and slowful about your faith and growing your faith, because either one of these can catch you at any time. And then a third reason that you ought to be eager is because of our enemy. Peter mentions this in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. Reason you ought to be eager about your faith and diligent about your faith is because we have an adversary. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So the devil is very, very active in trying to destroy the faith of the Christian. So you need to be on your toes. You need to be at your game. You need to really know that I don't have time to waste. I need to be eager about my faith and growing my faith, because the devil will use every opportunity to keep us from our faith in God, or to destroy our faith in God. Now, the second E deals with election. Now, part of this verse says to be diligent and to make our calling and election sure. Make our calling and our election sure. Now, calling and election basically have reference to what God has done. This is speaking of what God has done for us, but our participation in what God has done for us. God has elected us. God has called us. But based on that election and based on that calling, you and I are to remain and to be active in saving ourselves. As I mentioned on last Lord's Day, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And we know that this is what he is asking us to do. Now, when you look at, I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and I do want to read this one to you, Ephesians chapter 1, because this deals with election. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 3, very familiar passage of scripture that we hear all the time, but now I want you to listen to it as it relates to election. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, that's interesting, because what he wants you to know is that your blessings are not those blessings here on this earth. These blessings are spiritual blessings, and they are in the realm where Jesus is. Now, I know that doesn't really resonate with you, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but if you died today, it would make a whole lot of sense if you didn't have what I'm talking about. But anyway, let me tell you anyway that these blessings are in heavenly places, and these heavenly places is referring to, hear me well, is referring to what Jesus has done. What did he do? He died for us. He buried for us, but he was resurrected. Watch what he did. Once he was resurrected, he stepped on a cloud and went back to heaven. This is the heavenly places. The blessing that God is blessing us with are blessings that are in heavenly places. That's because of where Jesus is. Are you with me? Now, in chapter 1, verse number 4, and I won't take me long, the Bible tells us plainly how that in verse number 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What you and I are blessed to be a part of, it didn't just start when Jesus came to this earth. This is what God planned from the very beginning. Before God made man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, it was God's plan through Christ to choose all mankind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus was on the eternal plan of God to come into this world and save us long before God ever created this world. Now watch this now. That we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. When I hear the word election, I place myself as one who has been elected. You should place yourself as one who's been elected. But that election comes through Christ. Christ is the one who has been predestined. Christ is the one who has been elected by God to save the whole world. And so when God elects us, he elects us not independent of Christ. It's through Christ. That's because you cannot be saved in and of yourself. You cannot be holy, blameless in and of yourself. It's only through Christ Jesus our Lord. So the election, when I hear the word election, I know that this comes because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, who has been predestined by God, because in him we are adopted as children. In him we become the praise of his grace. In him we are made accepted. In him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Thank God for the election that comes through Jesus Christ. And it's by his wonderful, wonderful grace and love. Now, when you hear the word call is a word that simply means that God has called you. He has called you, but there's a way that he's called you. Notice in 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17. I want you to just study this with me briefly. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17. Y'all not following me up there? All right. Thank you. All right. Now, watch this now. But we are bound to give thanks always to whom? God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the what? Here it is again. God hath from the what? Beginning done what? Chosen you to what? Salvation. Through whom? Through sanctification of the what? The spirit and the belief of the truth. I've just learned three things. That God not only from the beginning of the world chose to save me and to elect me and to call me through Jesus Christ, but it's also through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And it's also through the knowledge of the truth or belief in the truth. Now, watch this. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Every time you hear the gospel, every time you hear preachers preach concerning the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ, and call you to put him on in baptism and take him and put your faith and trust in him, that's God's call. God called you when you obeyed the gospel. And that's your calling and your election, which is through Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm supposed to do is to make sure that I make my calling, watch this, make my calling, my obedience to the gospel, make my calling, when I obeyed, make it sure. Make my election, which is in Jesus Christ, sure. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, how do I make my calling sure? How do I make my election sure? Number one, by adding to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. When you are involved in these wonderful virtues and these wonderful characteristics and traits that build and grow your faith, then, ladies and gentlemen, you are making your calling and your election sure. God did not just call you thinking that you were going to go to heaven on some love boat or on some cruise ship. You don't go to heaven on a cruise ship. You go to heaven on a work ship, on a ship that is involved in some duties and some works and in showing yourself worthy of your calling and your election. Now, there are a lot of people who say, well, Brother Gibbs, if I'm saved by faith, then that means that I can just do what I want to do. And don't worry about it. I'm saved by grace. No, you can't go to the club if you saved by grace. Amen, walls and light. You ain't got no business cursing folk out if you're saved by grace. Well, let me help you to understand that. Let me help you to understand that. Now, watch this now. Because some people just feel like, well, I got a license now. I can just do what I want to do. No, if you make your calling and your election sure, you can't do all of that stuff. Amen. Amen. But at the same time, blessed assurance. Now, I know they don't say, well, but you just got to tell me I can't do all that. And I just left the club. But okay, but blessed assurance. All right. Now, y'all just stay with me. Amen. 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 All right. Y'all with me? Are y'all with me? All right. Now listen to me. I want you to watch this because go back to 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17. I just want you to see this because I'm leaving a lot here. Whereunto you're called by our gospel, verse number 14, to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, now watch this. See the therefore, because of your calling and your election, therefore what? Brethren, do what? Stand what? And do what? Hold the what? Traditions which ye have what? Been what? Taught, whether by what? Word or by epistle. Now watch verse number 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even the Father, which had loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope. Comfort your heart and watch this. Establish you. Watch this now. Establish you in every what? Good what? Establish you in every what? Good what? Word and what? Work. Establish you in every what? Good what? Word and what? Work. Now, that simply means that when you are working out what God has worked in, you are making sure that you are involved in good word and in good work. Are you with me? Now, I'm talking about election. Now, I know as I move, and I'm almost through, I want to deal with the word establish. Election, you should understand that. Working it out simply means work out what God has already worked in. Now, let's look at the word establish. The word establish comes from the word sure. Make your calling and election sure. How do I make it sure? How do I establish it and make it sure? That if you do these things, you shall never fall. You shall never fall. Well, here it is. Never simply means that you and I can be assured of the fact that our salvation is firmly established, unmoved, absolutely sure, and this is because of what God knows of us and what we know of God. I know, watch this now. I want to look at two ways. I want to look at it from the believer's perspective, and then I want to look at it from God's perspective. And I'm talking about the surety of your salvation. Now watch this. In the midst of the developing of the virtues of our faith, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, through the development of each of these, we do not develop them to perfection. All the days of our living on this earth, we'll never develop godliness to perfection. knowledge to perfection. We'll never be able to love perfectly. But here's what God wants you to do as a believer. I need you to be involved in growing in these areas, growing in godliness, growing in love, growing in temperance, growing in patience. In other words, I know this is the way that my faith is strengthened, so therefore I have to be involved in these things. Now, this is from my perspective. This is what I hear when he says, make your calling and your election sure. When I know that I am actively working in goodness and virtue, when I know that I am actively growing in knowledge, when I know that I'm actively growing in temperance or self-control and patience, when I know that I'm actively involved in those things, I am making my calling and my election sure. Listen, not because I'm perfect. It's because I am participating in this salvation process. I am allowing God to sanctify me. I'm allowing God to make me better. May I read something to you? As long as I am anchored in the righteousness of God, the knowledge of God, and the promises of God, then when I come to the end of my days and I close my eyes in death, I close my eyes in death assured of the fact that I am saved, not because I am perfect, but because I have participated in making my calling and my election sure. In other words, in this Christian life, I have weak moments and I have moments of strength. Sometimes I'm firing on all cylinders. Sometimes I'm misfiring. Sometimes I got ups and sometimes I got downs. But my ups and my downs are in the working of these virtues and my faith and my knowledge. This is what Paul says. Now, I'm just looking at it from God's, from the believer's perspective. 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 14. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Listen to what Paul says. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. How can I have power in my life? You know why I can have power in my life? You know why I don't have to fear in my life? Because I don't have to fear losing my salvation. Now I know y'all left me. I never. As long as I am participating in the building of my faith through these wonderful virtues, and I am obeying to the best of my ability, then God's got my back. And so the spirit of fear, the devil can't make me believe because I'm weak or I have made a mistake that you're no longer his. No. I know better than that because I know the blood of Jesus Christ just keeps on cleansing me every day of my life. And I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to leave the faith. I'm going to keep building my faith. And then the disappointment, I know we're all disappointed, but don't leave it. Keep growing it. Now, I know. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, according to the power of God, who hath saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Here, our problem is that we don't understand what kind of works he's talking about. There are two kinds of works. There's meritorious works, and then there are works based on relationship, love. Well, what do you mean, Brother Gibbs? Take a nurse. A nurse has a work schedule from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. She goes and she punches in. And what is she doing? She's attending to the sick. She's making sure that these patients get what they need based on her skills and her expertise. At the end of when she punches the clock at 3 o'clock to get off, guess what? They owe her for her labor from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's why at the end of the week, she's looking for a paycheck based on my work. That same nurse gets off work at 3 o'clock, goes home, and she has a relative, a child maybe, that's sick. Now this time, she's using her the same skills that she used from 7 to 3. Now she's using those same skills and her same knowledge to minister to her baby, her child. But guess what? She's not looking for no pay, because what she does for that child is not based on meritorious works. It's based on a relationship. And guess what? She'll give more attention to that child than she will to those patients, because she's got a relationship with the child. The reason some of us think that we deserve to go to heaven is because we think that, well, I came to service on Sunday morning, and I was here on Sunday night, and I was here on Wednesday night, and I gave in the collection plate, and I did that. God is saying, you can't earn your salvation by meriting all of that. What God is simply saying is that I want to measure your giving based on your relationship with me. Because if you do it by law, then you'll give God 10%. But if you do it by relationship, you'll give God 30%. Why? Because you know God is able to abundantly bless you more than you can bless yourself. I know you didn't catch that. I hope you caught what I'm saying. God is looking for works of faith, not works of merit. So whenever you read in the Bible about our works, he's talking about works of faith and not works of merit. Now there are a lot of people who say, well, Brother Gibbs, I just think, well, let me go and stay with my lesson. Go put on the screen Titus chapter 3, and I want verse number 4. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 4. I just want you to see this. Now watch this. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Now watch this now. Not by what? Works of righteousness, which what? We have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the what? The washing of regeneration and the what? The renewing of the Holy Spirit. Watch verse number 6. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's our election right there. Watch verse number 7. That having been justified by his what? We should become what? Heirs according to the what? The hope of eternal life. He's already told you it's not by your merit. It's not by your works of merit. Now watch verse number 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be, watch this, careful to maintain what? Good works. Now, wait a minute. He just got me through telling me that I'm not saved by works. But then he came right back and said that we ought to be careful to maintain good work. Don't you know he's talking about works of faith and not works of merit? These things are good and profitable to men. And so, as I look at it from God's perspective, this is my last point, and I'm through. I know God has saved me, though I am not perfect, but I am in the perfect. I am in the perfect. I am in Christ, who has perfected me, and he will perfect me. Now listen to this. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13, because this is what God does. I want to show you what God does. And then I'm through. This is what God does. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope. Watch this. Rest your hope fully upon the what? The grace that is to be what? Brought to you When? No, you missed that. Stay faithful. Stay alert. Rest your hope fully upon the what? That is to be brought to you when? Verse number 14. As what? Obedient children. That's why I say you can't go to the club. Not conforming yourselves to the what? As in your what? See, you know better now. Watch verse number 15. But as he who hath what? Watch this. But he who hath what? Called you is what? Holy. So you also be what? Holy in your what? Conduct. But I got sense enough to know my knowledge in Christ lets me know that I'm not going to be able to meet that perfection that many feel like is of God. But it's not, I'm not going to be made holy simply because of who I am. Watch verse number 16. Watch this now. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. That's our lot. But watch this, verse number 17. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each man's what? Each one's what? That's not meritorious work. That is works of what? Faith. Conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay. If you conduct yourself throughout the time of your life here on this earth in fear, diligence, eagerness, understanding my calling and my election, If I, while I'm here, do it in fear. Watch verse number 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your father. Verse number 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Watch verse number 20. He indeed was foreordained before the what? Foundation of the world, but was manifest in the last time for you. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Man, listen to me. When I'm through, but I'm going to illustrate it this way. Have you ever seen a caterpillar? They ugly. They slimy. And they wiggle around in the dirt. Am I making sense? All right. Wiggle around in the dirt. But did you not know that that caterpillar is really a butterfly?
Yes. That's right.
Ain't no way in the world you can make that caterpillar believe that it's a butterfly wiggling around in the dirt. The caterpillar got to know something.
Yes.
See, the caterpillar got to know that this is not what has been preordained for me. The caterpillar got to know this has not been predestined for me. I'm not going to always stay a caterpillar.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
The caterpillar knows that once he goes into the cocoon, he's going to come out of the cocoon.
Yes.
Not a worm, not a caterpillar,
yes,
but a butterfly.
Yes.
The butterfly and the caterpillar are two different creatures.
Yes.
The butterfly is totally different.
Mm.
Totally different.
Yes.
From the caterpillar. But he had to go through the cocoon. May I say to you that Christ is the cocoon. You are a sinful caterpillar. But by you going into Christ, now you are in the cocoon of metamorphosis. where the Lord is putting his spirit in you, where the Lord has given you his knowledge, has given you his promises, have given you all these things. And if you would just go on and stay firm in the cocoon,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Die in the cocoon.
Yes, sir.
When that cocoon breaks open, you will not be that sinner that was put in the cocoon. You will be a butterfly, a saint that is free from all sin and all guile. Why? Because Christ has now made you perfect.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I know that didn't make sense.
Go ahead, brother.
You said it did?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I recognize my assurance. My blessed assurance comes not in what I'm able to do, but in what God is able to do. Why do you think God gave us the caterpillar and the butterfly? Why do you even think he gave you that? What was God trying to show you? God was trying to show you that I am a God of transformation, and I am a God who's able to make you what you never could make of yourself. And so, therefore, I am confident.
It's all right.
You're looking at a caterpillar in the cocoon.
Yes.
But I'm going to stay in this cocoon until God calls me. And then at the end, like Paul said, I have fought. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Watch him, he said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge shall give me in that day. He didn't say earn, give me in that day. And not to me only, but to all them who love the Lord's appearing. So what I'm simply saying to you is that Paul knew that he would die, but he also knew that after his death, he would have a crown of righteousness,
right,
which was given to him and not earned in this life.
Yes.
Well, I know. I don't know how that went over, but it's the truth.
Yes.
It's the truth. And so I'm praying that you're here this morning. And I know you may not be satisfied with yourself, but God loves you just as you are.
Right.
And God is willing to take you as you are. And if you would accept his will and get into Christ and allow his perfection and all of that to be given to you at the end of a faithful life in him, not a perfect life, but a faithful life,
yes,
then God will make you what you should be, and that is perfect in his sight. You'll be able to go to heaven and live throughout eternity.
All right.
Here's what's interesting to me, and I know I'm over time, but I want you to listen to this. There was a thief, two thieves, that were with Jesus on the cross. One was on his right hand, the other was on his left. Now let me show you. One thief said, why don't you come down from the cross and take us down from the cross? And the other thief rebuked him and said, we're receiving our just reward. This man has done nothing. And then he said to Jesus, he said, remember me. Remember me when thou goest into paradise. When thou comest into thy kingdom, is what he said. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This is the epitome of salvation. That man in that moment lived a life of a thief. He died a thief. But he opened his eyes in paradise.
All right.
Now that's just how much God is trying to show you that I can come into your life and I can make a difference. Now that is the epitome of his ability to save to the uttermost. So I'm asking you to come to Jesus. I'm asking you to give your life to him. Will you give him your life? You've heard the gospel, believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin, confess him to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is farther than remission of sin. When you come up, you'll be a new creature in Christ. All your sins will then be washed away. Live in the cocoon of salvation, and one of these days, God will save you, and he'll make you what you should be. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. will you come?
Thank you, Lord. Say thank you. I thank you, Lord, for being so good. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. Oh, Lord, you saved my soul. I know you saved.